get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a girl?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous one to show.
Cut the cameras, I'm about to
Greek, what kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy, the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, D. Dambi.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Yes, it's Wednesday, the middle of the week.
Yes, it is, man. What'd y'all do yesterday? Yesterday, I had a great chest day in the gym. When the last time you did chest in the gym? When the last time you been in the gym?
You talking to Envy?
Wow. Talking to both of y'all.
I go running in the park.
Okay.
I got a gym at the crib.
There you go. That was a little light flex. That was a little turnaround and spin and walk into your private jet and tell everybody they can't spell Prague. That's what that was just now.
It's a little bit.
Real quick.
It's a little bit. Right. Just a little bit. Yesterday, I didn't do much either. I just pretty much...
By the way, that wasn't what I asked you, though. When the last time you've been to the gym? You got a gym in the crib, but when the last time you've been in there and worked out?
If you have a gym in the house, why would you go to the gym?
Well, same difference.
Him and downstairs.
Go down to the gym.
Yesterday. My nephew's in town, and we worked out yesterday. We played some ball, and then we worked out yesterday in the gym.
There you go, because it's the summertime, and, you know, guys like to give girls a lot of flack for wearing sundresses. We want to see the right girls in sundresses.
But we don't want to see you in the pool with your shirt on.
Yeah, okay? girls want to see your T-shirt fit in a certain way. They want to see you looking a certain way when you take your shirt off at the pool and the beach, too.
Yeah, guys, don't do the T-shirt in the pool thing, man. Just take it off.
And your T-shirt got to fit a certain way when you're just walking around living your life, okay? We see your man titties.
Well, yesterday I went to one of the best events that I've ever been to. It was crazy. It was for Hendrix Gin, and it was in Queens, in Long Island City. Mm-hmm. And the event space that they use and everything about it was just incredible. I've never seen anything like this.
Well, as soon as you said gin, that lets me know I have no business there at all. Gin makes you sin in a different type of way.
But the event was beautiful. It was crazy. I actually posted it on Instagram story. Just so you could see, because I was amazed by how much, you know, a lot of times we go out to all these events and different things and parties and it's regular, but this was like they took a lot of time, a lot of effort. It was really special. They had like, it was like a carnival.
All I know is if it's over 90 degrees and you see somebody drinking gin, you need to leave that facility immediately.
Well, there was air conditioning inside the venue.
No, not having it. As soon as you step outside in that 90 degree heat, hit your gin-induced brain, bad things happen.
My goodness. Well, today on the show, Benny Boom and LT Hunt will be joining us.
The producer and director of the Tupac biopic, All Eyes on Me. I know everybody's excited because Black Panther comes out next February, but let's not act like we don't have a black superhero movie dropping this Friday, which is All Eyes on Me, the Tupac biopic.
I actually already bought my tickets for the movie, but it was sold out everywhere until Sunday, so I can't go see it until Sunday, but I have my tickets. I'm ready to go check it out.
That's good. Tupac's born day would have been Friday. He'd have been 46 years old. That is a great way to celebrate your 46th born day by having a biopic in theaters, even if you're not here to see it.
Right.
Because at least you left some type of legacy that warranted a movie.
All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about?
Well, if you are in Georgia, there are two inmates on the run, and they are very dangerous. We'll tell you what they've done. They actually killed two officers.
Jesus Christ. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
I saw one of the amigos getting, he got caught out there by Thot the other day, didn't he? He laying in the bed with the chick.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and the chick took a selfie with him while he was asleep.
Which one was that?
Takeoff.
Oh.
It was Takeoff.
Okay. All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Now, let's talk about these inmates on the run.
Man, now, if you are in Georgia, beware. These two prisoners have fatally shot two corrections officers on a bus. This happened yesterday morning in Central Georgia. They have gotten rid of their prison uniforms, and they actually carjacked somebody, a 2004 four-door Honda Civic. They forced the driver out, and they drove toward Eatonton. And these two inmates obviously are very dangerous because they killed the two officers.
Right.
Their names are Donnie Russell Rowe, 43, and Ricky DuBose, who is 24 years old.
What's that, about a 40-year-old white male and a 24-year-old white male, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes.
If I had to guess their ages?
Yes.
How did they get the gun from the officer?
Well, it's not clear. They actually have to review the footage, but apparently they somehow managed to get into the front of the bus, which should have been a locked section of the bus,
mm-hmm.
and they managed to overpower the two officers, and one of those inmates shot and killed both of the officers.
Well, Georgia is an open carry state, so I'm sure that those two thugs will be clapped on sight if they run up on the wrong person.
They're saying be careful because they may have the officers' Glock pistols as well.
Once again, Georgia's an open carry state, so they need to be careful because there's a lot of people out there carrying Glock pistols too, and you got their pictures, you know who they are, you might have to clap those thugs on sight.
Wow.
You got to get them out the paint. They already shot two cops.
And killed them.
They killed two cops. So imagine what they're going to do to us regular civilians. I'm terrified for my life. You got to shoot those thugs on sight.
Now, what's going on in White House news?
Well, Jeff Sessions, as you know, was talking yesterday, and he was testifying in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and here is some of what he had to say. He, of course, denied collusion with Moscow to influence the election of 2016.
Let me state this clearly, colleagues. I have never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election. And the suggestion that I participated in any collusion, that I was aware of any collusion with the Russian government to hurt this country, is an appalling and detestable lie. Now,
Jeff Sessions' grandparents definitely owned slaves. Absolutely did.
Now, Jeff Sessions also refused to answer any questions about his discussions with Donald Trump because he's saying the president could claim executive privilege over those discussions. At a later date, he also discussed his recusal.
So many have suggested that my recusal is because I felt I was a subject of the investigation myself. But this is the reason I recused myself. I felt I was required to. I thought there was a problem with me being able to serve as Attorney General over this issue. And I felt I would possibly have to recuse myself. And I took the position correctly, I believe, not to involve myself in the campaign in any way.
What is executive privilege? Is that Donald Trump's new book? The hell is that?
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't have to answer certain questions because it's like, it's private privilege information.
Oh, executive privilege by Donald Trump. Impeachment comes to presidents who create it. God bless him.
My goodness.
All right. He was saying throughout this that he's not able to answer because he said, I'm not able to be rushed this fast. It makes me nervous while they were questioning him.
It makes him nervous to be questioned?
That's your job, sir.
Well, he is older. He is up in age. He's
like,
97?
No, ain't
that. He's definitely Betty White's age. Come on now. Jeff Sessions? Where is Betty White, by the way? Nobody
seen
Betty White in a minute.
Yeah, they actually just posted something about her the other day. Mm. She's chilling.
Okay.
All right, well, that's front page news. Get it off your chest.
800-585-1051.
If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you feel blessed. You want to spread some positivity. Call us up. Phone lines are wide open. 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
G, good morning, G.
Yes, this is G from the Brook City, and no, I'm not in jail.
Oh, my goodness.
We ain't heard from you in a minute, bruh.
What's up with the goodie bag game?
I had to call because Charlamagne really been selling himself lately. He out here talking about he look like Morris Chestnut. Come on, man. Charlamagne, I got to let you know. You look like a monkey before the surgery, and you still look like one now. And you remind me of Kodak Black and not Morris Chestnut, brother.
Oh, well, listen, you're probably right, but keep in mind one thing. Regardless of how I look, I am a New York Times bestselling author, okay? And I don't like your tone, the tone that you're taking with a New York Times bestselling author. Have a blessed day. See?
That's it.
I know, it kills him every time. There's nothing they can say.
JoJo.
What's happening?
You feeling blessed today? Tell the world why you blessed, bro.
Oh, man, I'm blessed because I got the best baby mother in the world.
There we go. I love it.
She look out on me. Even though we separated, she's still there for me. And then I got the best job. Shout out Captain Associate. Shout out Lamar and the crew in the warehouse. DJ Envy. Charlamagne Guy, your book is the brother. I mean, excuse my language. Whoa. Charlamagne.
Thank you, brother.
New York bestseller.
Thank you, sir.
I was going to say,
if she's the best baby mama in the world, why she not your wife? But you say y'all not together. So.
Right. Hello, who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Shauna.
Shauna, why are you mad? Are you mad or blessed this morning?
This morning, I am mad because I'm still studying for finals. Because I'm in college right now, and I'm still studying for finals, and I'm up so late.
What school do you go to? Because most colleges are over.
Really? Yeah. I go to Santa Clara University.
Oh, okay.
All right.
But good luck to you on your finals.
This your last week? You got finals this week?
Oh, yeah. I got finals this week, but I want to say I'm so happy that I just am speaking to you guys right now, to like Charlemagne the God, Angela Yee, and also DJ Envy as well. But it's just like, it's basically the highlight of my week, basically. So I'm just super, super excited.
Terrible. I'm going to be honest with you. You sound like you high off caffeine or something. What you on right now?
I am. I mean, I actually got like a Monster right here next to me. And then like about 2 hours ago, I drank Red Bull.
That's what I'm, yeah.
Yeah, we can tell.
Oh, yeah. But so, I mean, that's what you do in college, though.
Yeah, you could be doing cocaine or Adderall or something else. So I'm glad that you just doing energy drinks,
well,
okay?
Well, get yourself a nice juice or something. Drink some green tea. Those things will keep you up as well.
Yeah, I'm glad with a highlight, though. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys.
Good luck on your exams, boy.
That is very sad if we're the highlight of somebody's week, man.
Why is that sad? I want to be the highlight. I want to be the highlight of somebody's day. I want them to wake up in the morning, turn that Breakfast Club on, and be like, yes, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get the day moving. I want to be the highlight of somebody's day.
You've been feeling yourself ever since you made that little, what's that list you brought?
First of all, don't y'all do radio?
What's that little list you want?
I'm talking about, but don't y'all do radio?
We're not saying time.
You're not waking up in the morning to be the highlight of somebody's day? I think y'all forgetting why y'all do this.
I want my wife and kids to be the highlight of my day.
That's great, too, but we do radio. We are public servants. We are here to serve the needs of the public. So, yes, I want people to wake up in the morning and say the Breakfast Club is the highlight of my day. We get their morning started. Yes.
I want life to be the highlight of their day. God,
we're part of their life.
We could be part of it.
I want to be a habit.
I want people to have great, great, great lives and have several highlights.
There you go.
Well, yeah, all right. I'm happy to be one of them.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. You mad? You blessed? Call us now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Willie, good morning.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning to you.
What's up, Willie?
What's up, Willie?
Yo, I'm mad, bro.
Tell us why. You still mad at the Cavs?
I'm mad at them Cavs, man, but I'm not really mad at the Cavs. I'm mad at them Golden State Warriors, though.
Why?
It was a little unfair.
Kevin Durant, you know, everybody talking about he made a move. You know, I'm not going to say it on the radio, but he made that kind of move to go over there.
A bitch move. A bitch move. Go ahead, say it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say that. He made a pretty crazy move going over there on a team that was already winning. Like, right. They win it already. What are you going there for? But, you know, whatever. It was his time. Let him have that. But see, what I'm really mad about right now is how everybody talking about LeBron is not great just because he took this L in the finals.
Well, this is what you got to realize about people, and I've realized this a long time ago. People are very, very fickle. 2 weeks ago, they were comparing LeBron James to Michael Jordan and saying, is he better than Jordan? Now they're saying Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. So what that should tell you is don't listen to the opinions of other people because they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Rodney, good morning.
What's up, man? How y'all doing this morning?
Good. What part of Brooklyn are you from?
Originally Coney Island, known as T.I.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to be at Coney Island next weekend for their anniversary for Luna Park. Yes, with Fab, F-A-B-O.
Okay. That's what's up, baby. That's what's up.
You blessed this morning, right? You feeling blessed this morning?
Absolutely, man. Just happy to be here. Woke up this morning inspired of, like I was telling Mr. Yee. Hey, man, a lot of things going on, but hey, people miss the biggest gift of all is just waking up.
That's it,
everything,
baby.
Everything else that comes after is extra.
Breathing is a privilege. I keep trying to tell people. Breathing is a privilege.
Absolutely.
Somebody
absolutely
woke up dead this morning.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes. Why was Tinashe trending yesterday? We'll tell you what she said that had people really going in on her. Also, the XXL freshman cover. The freshman class has been revealed. Let's see what you think.
Okay. We'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, yesterday, they revealed the XXL freshman class. Definitely want to hear what you guys think about who made the list.
AKA the This Is How You Know You're Getting Old freshman cover.
All right, Kamaya made the list. She's from the Bay Area.
Never heard of her.
YG's
you, yes, you do know Kamaya. She's please tell me why you always hate.
I thought that was YG.
It's on, well, she's on his song, yeah, yeah. But she's on, and she has a song with E-40 Petty. All right, I like Kamaya. A Boogie with the Hoodie.
I know A Boogie.
P&B Rock.
No P&B Rock.
Made in Tokyo.
No Made in Tokyo.
Made in Tokyo. That's Uber everywhere. He should be on it.
Right, and the Skateboard P.
Mm-hmm.
Playboy Cardi.
He should be on it.
Amine has a song, Caroline.
Nope.
I
don't know him.
They play that song a lot on streaming services. Did we ever play?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Who played that?
Amine. That song, Caroline, was big.
It was on the countdown and everything.
Oh, who else?
Also, Cap G made the list.
From L.A.?
Yeah, Cap G's and raised in Atlanta, but Cap G has a song, Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle.
Nope.
Kyle's going to be performing at the Boston Summer Jam that we're hosting.
Right.
Ugly God. Ugly God actually.
No Ugly God.
Just did lip service. If you haven't heard that, you should check that out. It was crazy. Right. And also, the 10th spot winner was XXXTentacion.
Right. Yes, look at me. I'm
surprised. That's the guy who just got snuffed.
Right.
Okay.
I'm surprised YF and Lucci didn't make that list. YF and Lucci definitely should be on that list.
Well, I was talking to my young boys yesterday. I had to hit up my young boys really on Smashing Academics because, you know, this that young wave is not my lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I was asking them what they thought. Really thought that the whole cover was trash.
T Grizzly should be on that list.
That's what Academics said. Academics said T Grizzly should be on there.
YF and Lucci definitely.
I thought Cardi B was going to be on there too.
Cardi B should be on there.
He said Young MA should have been on there.
Young MA definitely should have been on there.
But I feel like maybe some people, because people have turned it down. So we are going to talk at some point to Vanessa, who's the editor in chief of XXL, because let's not forget, there's some people who feel like I don't want to do the freshman cover because I feel like I'm going to get my own cover, or sometimes they feel like they don't want
to
be.
They trying to follow the Drake, Nicki Minaj model. But y'all ain't Drake or Nicki Minaj. Who else he told me should have been on there? Nav? Who's Nav? Nave? I don't know who that is. Academics say he should have been on there. And Slack? That's how you pronounce his name? It's like six.
Oh, Black.
I don't know, man. I'm grown.
It's six lakh. It
it's
looks
too
like.
Hot for trap black. Music, okay? I was in the gym yesterday, and I tried to put on some trap music, and it was too hot, so I put on some 90s R&B, okay?
All right, well, we're going to have that debate. Don't worry about it when we have Vanessa up here from XXL Magazine, because, you know, everybody always got to talk about the freshman cover. It's a big deal for a lot of artists, and they also do the XXL Freshman Show, and that's going to be Wednesday, June 28th.
Too
and they're also doing
man.
One in L.A. as well on July 12th.
Too confusing for me.
What's too confusing?
That XXL freshman list. Okay?
All right, well, it's a big deal for them. It's a nice little jump start.
Listen, congratulations
for a lot of people.
To all them young individuals. Drop one of Clues Bombs for everybody on the list. I have no reason to say who shouldn't or should be on the list because I don't know.
But don't worry, we're going to have more insight for everybody who commented on it because we are going to get that exclusive. All right, Tinashe, in the meantime, was trending yesterday. Now, she did an interview with The Guardian where she talked about colorism playing a role in her career not being where it should be. She said there's colorism involved in the black community, which is very apparent. It's about trying to find a balance where I'm a mixed black woman, and sometimes I feel like I don't fully fit into the black community. They don't fully accept me, even though I see myself as a black woman. That disconnect is confusing sometimes. I am what I am.
Tinashe tripping. Tinashe gets plenty of looks. I see Tinashe on the bill for stuff and TV shows and festivals she be on. And I always say to myself, how did Tinashe get here? I just thought she had sneaky singles everybody was rocking with.
Well, she had two records that did pretty well. I don't know. You know, I'm with you. I see her on a lot of things.
A lot of stuff.
Now,
a lot of crossover stuff.
The article was titled, "If You're a Black Singer, You're Either Beyonce or Rihanna." She said in the article, "There are hundreds of male rappers that all look the same, that sound the same, but if you're a black woman, you're either Beyonce or Rihanna. It's very, very strange."
Now, I do agree that this is a Beyonce-Rihanna world and the rest of these chicks just live in it, but don't nobody care about your complexion. Just make dope music. And if it is any colorism, it's against the dark-skinned women, but Tinashe and Rihanna... Ain't Tinashe and Rihanna like the same complexion?
No.
They're not. She's
They're definitely not. I just think Tinashe, I don't think people really... They know her music, but they don't think of her when they hear it. When I hear her two on, I think of the Drake version.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I've seen Tinashe perform right here at the iHeart Theater, and she's an excellent performer.
No, she's dope. She can perform.
She
definitely
gets it
dope.
In. Now, she tweeted in response to all the hate that she was getting, and she said that the article was... misquoted her, basically. She said the article framed it like it was about the music business, but she said the article was about success in music. Wasn't just about success in music. She said the conversation we had was about my experiences growing up in general.
Okay.
I got one Tinashe record I really like, though. That the joint with Snake Hips and Chance the Rapper. All my friends are wasted.
Oh, yep.
That's a tough tune. I don't know what Tinashe's talking
about. Is that her record or is that the DJ's record? I thought it was a DJ's record.
I mean, she's
singing on it. It was DJ Snake's record, yeah.
She can claim it. She can perform.
But I'll say this about Tinashe. She's still really young in her career. She's only 24 years old. So she still has a lot of time to develop.
But she's a dope artist, though.
Growing. She's a great performer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests in the building. Directors of All Eyes on Me, Benny Boom and LT Hutton. Good morning, guys.
Not just directors, though, right?
Producer, creator, director.
All of the above.
This is a long time coming, because I remember seeing LT in L.A. maybe 5-6 years ago.
Seven.
It was you and, what's the ball player name? He's not a Cowboy, so I don't remember.
Deshaun
Jackson.
Yeah.
And you was saying you had just got the rights to the movie then.
It started actually in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Almost it took 10 so long. Years. Sheesh.
Man, the process, you know, in the creation of this process, man, you got to understand, like I always say, you know, 30 minutes of Tupac's life could have been its own film in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And then with just the nuances of, you know, protecting the IP, you know what I mean, the intellectual property, you know, and creating something great. And in Hollywood, it's hard enough to make a film in general, you know what I mean? Most of the great films out there still haven't been made, you know what I mean? The Marvin Gaye's and the films like that. So just understand, like, you know, to make Avatar, it was 15 years,
mm-hmm.
you know? So this film, you know, I wanted to make sure that we had it correct. And you got to sort through and sift through all of the nonsense, you
know
what I'm saying?
How did you get the rights? Like, what's the process of getting the rights to somebody's life?
It wasn't a process like that. It was just about, you know, I wasn't going to do anything unauthorized,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And I want to make sure that, you know, people benefit off their names and likenesses, you know, and so, you know, the lawyers got involved and we cut a deal.
That's a good point, because people can do authorized movies.
Yeah.
Unauthorized movies.
You can do whatever you want to do.
You can do anything you want
to
do.
Yeah, but then you make some trash like the Aaliyah movie.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to do that.
But it is a lot
but,
more
But they didn't have to, yeah, but they didn't have to do the Aaliyah movie like that, but that's like part of the reason why I took the journey and took it up on myself. It's like, it's time for us to have stories about our culture told by someone from our culture. Like I said, it don't necessarily gotta be me. Like, I'm not one of those guys that say I'm the authoritarian figure on all biopics. No, you can't say that. You know what I mean? Whoever can get it done, just get it done. Stop talking about it and get it done.
Well, let's first of all, who is LT Hutton? I know people are watching this and saying, how does LT get the Tupac movie? Like, give him a little backstory on you.
I'm just, you know, small guy from Chicago that came out and worked beyond worked, made the transition into film and television in 1997. And it's like, it's not really like a transition, because I always did both. And for some reason, as black people, they say, if you do one thing, you can't do something else. You
as
know
far
what
as
mean?
Music and then.
As far as any, like, mm-hmm. Charlamagne just did a book. Right. You know, a lot
New
of people.
New York Times bestseller.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, the thing is, a lot of people's like, you can't be on the radio and do an MTV show and then write a book. Who you think you are? It's like, I just work.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I've always done both, man. And, you know, regardless if like I said, if I started from scratch, my respect for the culture and growing up in the culture and being from the culture gives me the ability. When people say, you know, how did I do it? My thing is, who else would have done it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a relationship with Pac?
Yes, 100%. At Death Row Records, we, you know, we got a chance to be, you know, come close in that last year of his life. As Snoop say, him and Pac had a better relationship than me. He felt like he knew Pac better than me, right? Because he the one who introduced me to Pac, but he said I couldn't tell the story like you told it.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying? It's a difference, you know.
Right,
I mean?
And Snoop saw and co-signed the movie as well.
See, that's here's the thing: our responsibility, because our responsibility is higher. You know, when people say certain things, these people are still alive. I talked to Suge, you know what I mean? I talked to Snoop. If I put out a piece of material that wasn't that, or if we did it, like, you gotta see us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like the last thing I'm gonna have is ye. Envy and Charlamagne's like, man, that movie is trash.
Right.
I wasn't going to have that. You know?
honestly, us saying it's trash wouldn't even matter, because we don't really know.
Yeah.
But like you said, those people are alive.
And that's what everybody I'm talking about, we had a process where we showed it to, you know, everybody that was there on the authenticity side. And when I'm telling you, if these people, like everybody came in, is like, hey, man, I really came in to tear your ass up and tell you, like, this is not this, this and that. Yeah, everybody. Yeah, every, you know, it's Tupac. So, yeah, it's not hate. It's like everybody come in like,
they have these high.
What y'all do to this movie? Right. You know what I'm saying? What y'all do with this movie? Let's see what's going on. All these rumors and this and that. What you do to the movie? And they watch it, and they stuck in a chair. And that's when you see the tears, and you see the emotion, and these, you know, we filmed, like, you get the hugs and the salutes. Even Jimmy Iovine said, I don't know how you did it, but you solved the Rubik's Cube. You know what I'm saying? So that's Jimmy Iovine. So he's watching it with different eyes.
There's a lot of pressure since Straight Outta Compton came out, and that movie did so great.
It's not pressure, but the thing is this. The industry said that there wasn't a market for Straight Outta Compton.
Right.
They told me that. They said the same thing about Tupac. There was no benchmark. When I started this journey, you know, like I said, Compton was sitting there. This film put energy into that project because they
like
wanted to...
Not like 8 Mile and Notorious? They don't look at those as like benchmarks?
Nah.
Culture wasn't involved in making that movie.
What about Notorious?
Notorious culture was involved in making it.
But it wasn't L.T. Hutton or Benny Boom or... You know, like...
In the financial... It didn't do financially what Compton did.
So, therefore...
They, and that was their expectation.
Yeah, and they wanted it to be a benchmark like financially low. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, they take Straight Outta Compton and 8 Mile and attribute it to something else.
Yeah.
And they really act like Compton didn't happen. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah.
They tried to.
Like, I don't understand what you mean when you say they try to act like it didn't happen.
Like this, you spend... $12 million on something, and you make $200 million. They spend $200 million and make $300. That's not a successful scenario in our eyes. The fact that Straight Outta Compton cost, you know, $30 million and did $264 million, that's just box office, not including everything else that come with it. Yeah. That's a success.
All right, when we come back, we have to talk John Singleton. Now, he didn't like the movie, and he didn't even see it. Well, we'll talk about it when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Benny Boom and L.T. Hutton, director and producer of the All Eyes on Me, the Tupac movie, in the building. Now, a couple of months ago, we had John Singleton up here, and he was pretty pissed off about the movie. He said he didn't like it, even though he didn't see it. We have the audio.
You were one of the original directors of the Tupac movie, right? You had that first, right?
Yeah, one of the several original. The people involved in it I couldn't deal with them. They were trying to tell me how to make a movie about Pac.
And that was your guy. Like,
that was your guy.
Come on now. I don't even have to speak on that no more. Y'all just see when it comes out, and you'll just know.
It's trash?
You didn't see it, though.
So. No, I don't have to see it.
Right.
Come on, you know.
He said, it's not me.
It's not me.
It ain't me.
First of all, it's so, you know, it disturbs me.
Take a breath first.
No, yeah, it just... Because, you know, I talked to you after that. It's like this. This is how... And I'm going to address it on this Breakfast Club. To be that self-serving, to take the shine off of the celebratory moment, as great as a feat that this is for culture, so to make it about you and have me have to answer the question and go back and forth of why he was bitter... He did not quit. You know what I'm saying? We parted ways over creative differences, and if I was to put those differences out there, the world would understand. I had to think long and hard because of where Pac was with him when he passed.
Yeah, I learned a lot after John left because people started sending me an interview. I guess it was a phone call between Pac and Monster Cody.
Monster Cody, yeah.
And Pac wasn't even rocking with John
at all. Some great things about John Singleton.
They called him a coward.
We heard that John Singleton wanted to add scenes that were like a rape scene in prison or something like that, and it was scenes that necessarily weren't proven to be true.
See, let's just dead it right now because June 16th, the film come out. You can see for yourself what we did, but... You know, the rumors you're hearing are true.
I heard you wanted to start the movie off with Pac getting raped in jail.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
No. The raped in jail stuff, yeah, he wanted to put that in there. The movie, go from black. Go from black. So he wanted to start the movie off. Tupac goes in the studio. One guy is in the studio. He's getting hit. Okay, we can say it on the show, okay? Mm-hmm. So Tupac is with the other girl, you know, and these girls are white.
Right.
And, Tupac tries to give her anal. Now, first of all, anal wasn't even around at that type of time in the 90s. It wasn't cool yet. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't eat the groceries, none of that.
It wasn't trending.
Because he wasn't there.
But I'm saying you wasn't waking up saying, you know, I'm going. You know what I mean? Like, it was like if you did that, you know, you was on the other side or something, you know? So, but then not just that, right? So we go into this particular part. The girl denies him. He kicks her out and he tells the white girls to go home and tell your dad you got f***ed by a today. Mm-hmm. End scene. What movie is that, bro?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like he had a
what movie is that? First of all, it's freaky. It's freaky. It's nasty. It's a porno. Yeah. Other than that, we're getting ready to deal with a rape case in the middle of this film.
Right.
You would already convict Pac if he tried to do that. Like, that's true. Where did that come from?
So that script was already written, and that's the script.
No,
that,
no.
No, I'm saying he wrote
the script,
that script.
The script that I end up shooting is the script that I've had.
No, but I'm saying he was trying to write his own.
I didn't want to disrespect the guy who put him out there like that. But when you go on radio talk shows and say, that picture, I don't need to see it. It's not me. Like, who made you the authoritarian figure and the gatekeeper to something? And then here's the thing. I'm going to end it with this, and we got to get off this guy. If you really, really loved and respect Pac, you could have made the picture 18 years ago.
You had
the power and the juice.
Right.
Yeah. You could have been made this movie. Why would you wait till I put it together? Then, you know, you call me and say, you got to get on this picture and then do that. I just saw him, and a lot of people heard about it. I just saw him. You don't say anything when you see me. You don't say nothing on the phone, because if you really cared, you would have said your approach would have been different. It wasn't like he was getting small money. He wasn't on this project for free. I was giving him the top dollar.
Way more than I got.
So I was giving him the top dollar. So if you really cared about the authenticity and Tupac's character, you would say, man, just let me see the movie. Let me see what I can do to help the process, even though I'm not on it. I would have supported anybody who got the film made. Mm-hmm. I wasn't saying that I was the only person that can make it. But I did.
You know what I'm saying?
I got it done, point blank. You know what I'm saying? And
if you truly love me, you're not going to show me getting raped in a movie, bro. I don't care if it really happened. Rewrite this story.
But you got to understand, I got to be clear on this. The white people, right, when he tried to go at the white people, they looking at me and said, LT, this is not the movie you pitched. The movie you got has integrity. It's nowhere near shape or form a porno. Every page, they're f***ing. It's like, we're not going to use the real estate on Tupac Shakur and screw girls every scene. Like, what is that movie?
Crazy.
I'm not going to do that movie. And I'm not going to have Miss Shakur in a threesome.
Miss Shakur?
Yes.
Oh, I heard
you know what I'm saying?
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's,
that,
you know,
that.
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
So that's what I'm saying.
Super disrespectful.
That's what I said. My man.
No,
I said, my man, let me talk to you out here now. Let's get away from these people, all right? You know, and I'm not racist at all, but I like to deal with my brothers.
Word up.
In a different way, so it's not to be... Like, some people, man, I'm going to just tell you like this. In Hollywood, we think they black, but they not black. You know what I mean? They like to be the only black person in the room because that makes them an authoritarian figure.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? They don't like to be challenged. And so you say, well, when you had an opportunity to put a black director on... Who did you call?
You talking about with John? With
Craig Brewer.
Yeah, with
Hustle and Flow. You put the white dude on.
I just want to know, where did he go in the script from the rape scene? Like, where do you go from there? you portray Pac getting raped in jail, and then what?
I'm going to give y'all the real, man. He went from that scene to Tupac talking to a severed head.
Oh, that's right.
Okay? A severed head. It's like a dream sequence where Tupac's head was cut off, and he was in the cell, and he went and picked up his own head and spoke to his own head. Like, I don't know where the hell that came from or what it is. Everybody like, this is sick.
Really,
they like, yeah,
it's a horror movie.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, and I was never gonna talk about the issues, but like I said, he cost me almost a year and some change because he really cost me, because I was out the gate. Everything was done, and I let him
back to square one now.
Yeah.
All right, we got more with Betty Boom and LT Hunting. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Benny Boom and LT Hunting, director and producer of the All Eyes On Me movie, the Tupac movie. Now, Yee.
So, LT, is it true that you're also working with Daz on the Dog Pound movie?
Yeah, I'm going to do that with him.
You're doing that
too? Yeah, yeah. It's not. He's doing DPG for life. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to help him with that. But we also have Death Row coming also.
That's, Death Row movie?
Yeah, that is the caption to the trilogy. So you got Straight Outta Compton, All Eyes on Me, the sequel to both of those films is, like, if you know the Trinity in Los Angeles and just the industry, you know, Death Row is the encompass of all of that. You know what I mean? It is the final.
Y'all got
track.
Like the hip-hop Avengers going on.
That, but that's what it was designed for.
Right. That's why
Rabies
in the movie.
Yeah, in my entire slate.
Rabies in this movie.
Yeah, in the entire slate, it was to bring a whole new universe it's like edutainment. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Education and edutainment all in one big ball. So it's like, it's a whole new breed. And it's actually going to give a whole new era of new Hollywood and different jobs and different opportunities. You'll see more black actors. You'll see more cameramen. You'll see, and I'm not just saying black, but I got to focus on us. You know what I mean? Like I got to, like I said, out of 76, we got one.
How did y'all feel about lately? Was it like a lot of people were shitting on Pac? Like you had like Wack and Flex. Like
I don't know about a lot.
Well, I mean, it seemed like a lot.
Yeah.
This is bordering on disrespect. It's disrespectful, first of all, but it's bordering on just, it's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? We had conversations and said, look, what is the purpose of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always ask the question, like Pac, the word gangster has evolved from when I was a kid. A gangster in Philly, they drove a certain car, they looked a certain way. That was very particular. Now everything is gangster. Mm-hmm. The way you wear your clothes, mm-hmm. or how you talk to a girl, or whatever the case may be. I ask and challenge anybody who claims to be gangster, did they ever stop their car on the street with two white people beating up a black man, intervene, get a gun put in their face, glass smashed on their face, then pull out a gun and shoot those two white men? And I guarantee you, you ask 10 gangsters, they ain't get, nah, I never did that. Mm. Tupac did that.
And they were cops.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He didn't know there was cops. That's what make it cops. Even...
That even makes him more dangerous because he thought they were citizens. Like, this is real. He gets... Somebody get the drop on him in the lobby. We all been to Quad. We know how small that place is. You can't run anywhere. And instead of getting down and saying, you know what, you got me. Whether you got a gun on you or not, you got me. He tries to go for his. Whatever happens, happens. That's gangster or whatever you want to call it, but that ain't no punk.
Mm-hmm. Did he really shoot himself?
Let's be clear. You know, this film does not perpetuate the nonsense. Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing I'm gonna sit up here and do with this platform is promote, you know, more violence or the thought or the over personification of shooting people is okay, because it's not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that should be clear. So, but going to address it, what is gangster? You know what I mean? Dying at 25 is not gangster.
That's real.
You know what I mean? Going to jail for life because you did something silly is not gangster. My little cousin in Chicago took someone's life. That wasn't gangster. You know what I mean? That's it wasn't a scenario where he had to defend himself. You know what I mean? There is a huge responsibility for us with these platforms to make people understand that there is resolve in other ways. Everything and all of the stuff and the irresponsible things that people are saying is disrespectful to the legacy. It's disrespectful to culture. Yeah. You know, I hate to give a nod to, you know, black privilege. You know what I'm saying? You can't just expect everything to come to you. Now, you know, I ain't want to have shameless plug.
Bestseller,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's like I said, in the process, instead of celebrating that a person like me got this movie done, Benny Boom, like this cast, right, was all black almost. Why smut it with the nonsense of people using their platforms in the wrong way? Pac would have ripped his head off. You know what I'm saying? You know how the boy get out. Like, it's like, come on. Like to
that's what didn't make no sense to me. I'm like, what's the point?
I don't even know.
You think Pac's going to respond from the grave? Like, I don't, like, what's the point?
Yeah, well, period. I'm excited to see the movie.
Final question. What did you guys learn new about Pac?
There's no excuses. You know, you can complain. Stop talking and do something about it.
Right.
You know, and like I said, even with the journey, like it helped me, his spirit helped me say, Stop begging for a seat at the table and go make your own table, serve dinner on your own terms. Mm-hmm. You know, take the all of that black privilege out. You know what I'm saying? Just do it. You understand what I'm saying? Just do it. So I got, you know, when the money wasn't right for Pac, he just worked. Mm-hmm. When things were going bad at home in different places, he just worked. He never stopped to complain about his issues. He worked through it. That's why he was basically the rose that grew from concrete in spite of. So when everybody like put me on, it's like, you're a grown man, put yourself on.
Damn right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like all the excuses that we have in the world, you know, I took from it that Pac worked like no other, you know? So I took the work ethic and just the encouragement that, you know what I'm saying? We don't have to be what they say we are.
Right.
You know, and this film, I would love for it to be, it is going to be like the statement on our back, what Tupac said, I may not change the world, but I guarantee I spark the mind that does. This film was designed to be that spark.
Gotcha.
You understand?
Well, there you have it. Theaters June 16th.
Yes,
all
sir.
Eyes on Me. Thank you, LT Hutton. Thank you, Benny Boom.
Yes, sir.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. That was Bad and Bougie. Now let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Kalani.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
So Kalani was performing and she had to stop the show to get somebody kicked out. This is what happened.
Who said that? Point him out. Wow. Turn the lights up. Who said that? Get the out of this concert, bitch. Security? Who was it? Point him out. Where was the guy? Point him. Y'all better be loyal for me in this bitch. Point that out. Come on. Where the he at? Kyrie will whoop your ass.
Now, she kicked somebody out because they yelled out Kyrie.
Kyrie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. As in Kyrie Irving?
Yes. Yep.
What's the backstory? She used to date Kyrie?
Yes, and then if you remember, she actually was bullied after that because it was something that happened with Party Next Door, posted a picture. So she said, I was bullied for a year, tormented, sent death threats, and they screamed his name at every show. His name had nothing to do with it. It was the fact that someone thought they could come into a space about positivity and bring the bullying from last year and expect me to try to run off and cry about it like I used to. I'm proud of myself for standing up. F that.
Kalani, first of all, you can't show everybody what pisses you off. Now it's going to be more people screaming Kyrie at your shows. They're going to be screaming Kyrie at you in the street. They're going to be screaming Kyrie at you in the airport because they know that it gets to you.
Well, if they do it at her show, they're going to get kicked out. But she was very fragile for a period of time. Remember, she was suicidal and everything. Mm-hmm. So people should respect. If you're her fan and you're at her show, why would you do that?
It's always going to be one drunk ass that's going to do it. Now that, like Sean
well,
said, now
that
they know it affects her,
and
everybody's going
to
do it.
And the truth to the matter is, Kalani just don't want any harsh reminders that she made a bad decision. You picked the guy. You had a guy that had $100 million contract, and you messed that up, Kalani.
Well,
Come on.
He did just post under one of her pictures, "Hey, big head."
Oh, so
I'm sure if she wanted to,
he's still in play.
It's not about the money.
Yes, it is.
You're
relax,
fat, man.
Relax.
She might be in love.
Relax. It's about.
But yeah, so that's what happens. You try to be funny, and you get kicked out the show. All right. Bruno Mars recently did an episode of 60 Minutes, and he talked about basically how he grew up and how rough things were for him when he was growing up. He's worth about $90 million now.
Wow.
And he revisited one of the spots where he used to live with his family for over 2 years. Okay, check this out.
My dad was just the king of finding these little spots for us to stay that we should never have been staying at.
But you were like homeless people.
Yeah, for sure. Just so people don't think we're crazy. Yeah. It did not look like this. It had a roof.
It didn't have plants growing inside.
I don't know what happened to the roof, but the bed would be right there in the middle. We'd all sleep in one bed. So we'd have to walk across the park to this other spot that had a bathroom in the middle of the night.
Happy memories?
The best.
God bless Bruno Mars. Drop on the clues bombs for Bruno Mars, man.
They didn't even have a bathroom. They had to walk across
the
park in the middle of the night to go use another bathroom. But he said it wasn't about the struggle or what he didn't have. He said it was because he had his family, and it was just amazing.
Speaking of family, Bruno Mars looked like the auntie that loves to do yoga and be healthy, and you like going to her house because you know how to make good protein shakes. God bless Bruno Mars.
Man, I love Bruno Mars. He's incredible.
Bruno's so dope.
But that's a great inspiring story for people who are having a rough time. A lot of people don't know Bruno Mars' backstory, so it's good to hear something like that, because if you feel like you're struggling, you can see how far you can go in life.
Yeah, absolutely. You ain't going to be Bruno Mars. Okay,
but you
can be bigger.
No, you can't. But you're not going. You can get out of your circumstances. All right, just deal with the reality of the situation. You don't got to stay in your present circumstances.
You could,
but everybody ain't gonna be Bruno Mars. Don't sit here and tell these people that lie.
Not everybody, but you could.
Not
be
even one person. All right.
This guy here.
Now Matthew Knowles is talking about Beyonce and what she is not good at.
You ain't gonna be Beyonce either. I just want to throw that out there. Okay.
He was doing artist management lecture at Howard University, and he admitted that Beyonce does have a shortcoming that actually Solange is very good at. He said everybody thinks that they're the greatest, and they should. We as label executives, we have to know the limitations of the artist. I can tell you all my artist limitations. He said, see, I would never have Beyonce up here public speaking. She's not good at it. So Solange was just at Yale. She's incredible at it, but I know all of my artists' weaknesses. They all have weaknesses. I can't imagine that Beyonce wouldn't be good at public speaking if she so chose to do that.
I can see that.
No,
I can see why Solange would be a better public speaker than Beyonce. Solange is way more vocal. I can see that.
I mean, I think just watching when Beyonce did her documentary and all of that and seeing how open she was and how
documentary.
Commanding that she was.
Yeah, that's probably sitting in a room by herself. That probably took hours and it's editing.
And probably why she wouldn't be as good at it as Solange is because she doesn't do it, because he probably keeps her away from it. So practice makes perfect usually. If you're not good at it and you keep on doing it, you'll get better, right?
No.
All right, well, you don't think so?
No, not in every case. That's another falsehood. No.
You don't think that the more you do something, the better you get at it?
No.
More comfortable? Oh, well, that's been my own personal experience. There's a lot of things I've been uncomfortable with, and you have to face your fears and do it, and you get better. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your rumor report.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Yes. Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, June 14th, goes to Lydia Marie Carmony. Now, Lydia Marie is a young white female from Wyoming. She attends a school called Gillette College. Now, she was arrested after she tried to just walk out of a Walmart with a cart containing nearly 2,000 in stolen items. Now, I have sympathy for college students stealing. I never went to college, but I understand the struggle of college kids. They don't have money. They are busy trying to be productive citizens. So if they steal to survive, I don't have a problem with that. I can turn a blind eye to that. All right? Not to mention, it's only shoplifting if you try to hide your items. Okay? If you go in a store, load up a cart full of stuff, and then attempt to just walk out, you're not shoplifting. You're just recusing yourself from paying for the items. Okay? I used to do it often. Still do sometimes. All right? Just magazines, though. And gum. Now, I told you all Lydia Marie got caught, and what she did, you know, what did she say when she got caught? Did she tell the authorities, look, I'm a 23-year-old starving college student who's just trying to survive? Nope. Did she flex her struggling college student privilege? Nope. Instead, Lydia Marie Carmony did what any brilliantly idiotic college student would do. She said she was doing research for a term paper on kleptomania. Lydia Marie got caught shoplifting at Walmart, and she told the Walmart employees that she was doing research for a term paper on kleptomania. Kleptomania is not a new WWE pay-per-view. It is a recurring urge to steal, typically without regard for need or profit. I know some of you all are thinking, why did you feel the need to explain what kleptomania is? Well, I like to give people the credit they deserve for being stupid, including myself. So for those who didn't know what a kleptomaniac is, now you do. Now, the real reason Lydia was shoplifting was because she was forced into a new dorm room and her former roommate kept the majority of the household items. Now, if she would have just led with that, if she would have just said that from the beginning, the fact she's a white female college student probably would have gotten her a pass from Walmart. But no, you want to insult Walmart and the authorities' intelligence and say you're doing a research paper for kleptomania. Kleptomania is a recurring urge to steal. okay, recurrent, meaning that you would have had to steal from this Walmart several times to do proper research on kleptomania. You walking out of that Walmart after stealing from it once wasn't going to serve as proper research. You would have had to do it again and again and again, and that's probably why they called the police on your silly ass, because they didn't want you to hit them again, okay? Lydia is definitely the type of student who told the teacher the reason she doesn't have her homework is because she left it in the back of her Uncle Jeff's pickup truck, and then Jeff drove the pickup truck through a car wash. Lydia has definitely told her teachers that her homework slipped out of her hands and blew away. By the way, teacher, that's why I was also late to class, because I was chasing after said homework after it blew out my hands. The moral of the story is, why lie, kids? You would be surprised who understands your situation. Everything can be worked out. Some donkey of the days just sell themselves. Please give Lydia Marie Cormany the biggest hee-haw, please.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Yeah, and she was released from jail last Thursday, but now she faces up to 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine for felony shoplifting.
Okay.
Sheesh. When all she had to do was probably tell the truth from the beginning, and she could have skated, maybe.
You think?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, up next is Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call her right now. She'll help you out if you need some advice, relationship advice. Call her up. She'll put you live on the air and help you with your problems. Again, the number's 800-585-1051. Here's Big Sean with Bounce Back. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we have Eric on the line from Miami. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up?
What's your question for you,
Eric,
bro?
Eric, you sound depressed.
Nope, not at all. Okay. I'm on my way to work.
Okay, so what's up?
My question is, my birthday is coming up, and I booked a trip to New York to visit family. However, I made the mistake of booking a flight for my girlfriend the day after my birthday, so I will not be with her on my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know if this is something that should not be done. Did I make a mistake? I feel like I did make a mistake, and I just wanted to know your thoughts on it.
Well, you didn't on purpose book it. It was just a mistake, like she was supposed to come the same day.
Well, with work exemptions and timing, last second, getting off work, this is the only way it could have happened, where I could have enjoyed a vacation with my girl from the weekend of my birthday.
All right. Well, I mean, what is she saying about it?
Well, she wanted to be with me on my birthday, so she's a little upset, and I completely understand where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I probably made a mistake initially by booking the flight so suddenly, but I wanted to know whether this is something that is normal.
Well, Eric, number one, you know you could change the flight if you want to. Right.
Well, I have plans with my family throughout the entire day, and if I change a flight, I would be letting my family down.
Okay, so here's what I think. Number one, it's really nice that for your birthday, you booked her a flight, because she didn't book her own flight. You still booked her a flight, even though it's your birthday, right?
Yeah.
And number two, if she's a great girlfriend, she should be more trying to make sure that you're happy on your actual birthday, knowing that you're going to spend time with your family, and then she can celebrate with you the next day. It should be more like, are you okay with it? Not, is she okay with it?
Yeah, definitely. She's a great girlfriend. She's very supportive of me.
Right.
I just felt that I would have her missing out on the thing of making me feel special on my birthday. But
she can still make you feel special the next day. It should be fine.
Definitely.
I mean, if timing-wise, you know, that's how it worked out, I would have no problem with that.
Okay.
That was me. And is she upset about it? Or is she...
No, she's not upset. She's pretty understanding. She knows that I went out of my way to make sure that she's included, and
right,
my family's very supportive. So,
well, that's great on both of your parts. Don't stress yourself out about it, you know? Sometimes it's great if you can celebrate those holidays or your birthday on that actual day, but there's nothing wrong with making the next day a special day as well, just because of timing and convenience, as long as you are both okay with that.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I watch you guys every single day. You guys are awesome.
All right, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All right, Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you can call her right now, or you can always email her. What's the email, Yee?
HelpMeYee@gmail.com.
Hit her right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, 800-585-1051. You can always email Yee. What's the email, Yee?
HelpMeYee@gmail.com.
All right, what line you want to go to?
Let's talk to Madison on line number 6.
Madison, you there?
Yes.
I hope you got a good question. That's my daughter's name, so I hope it's not too crazy.
It's not.
All right, what's your question for you?
I've been in a relationship for 2 years with this guy,
mm-hmm,
and he has 2 kids.
Okay.
I am
about the same age, and I don't have any kids, but we both on the same level, meaning, like, we have good jobs, we, you know, educated as well. I feel like that I'm raising a man because he doesn't know how to treat me, but past relationships, the girls weren't, like, up to par. They just didn't care about how they treated him, well, mm-hmm. he treated them. So okay. I don't know if I'm being insecure or I'm just blind, but I don't know if he's playing me or...
Okay, so be specific, because I'm going to tell you, I've had this issue before where you date a guy and you're like, who the hell did you date before me that you don't know how to do these simple things for a girl, but some guys really don't know. So give me some examples.
All right, so I tell him all the time, he's good. Right now he's learning, so he'll mm-hmm. do the gentleman things, opening the doors, taking me to work, or buying me dinner, you know, paying for the bills, stuff like that, okay. But then there's things like, I don't even know.
I have to tell my boyfriend, as a man, you know, you should walk on the outside of the sidewalk. It just feels weird because guys always do that, you know? So,
he don't even do that.
Right. But what you did say that was important is that he is learning. Like, you tell him something and he does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important because one of the key things is if he doesn't know how to treat a woman, because clearly he hasn't had a relationship prior to you where he had some standards that he had to live up to, it is important that when you tell him things that you feel like, okay, well, I think you should do this, I think you should do that, that he actually does it.
Right. Okay.
So that's important. You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, but I'm impatient. The patience is killing me. I don't want to be like raising a man. I'm just,
I mean, listen, you guys have been together for 2 years already, and the fact of the matter is that sometimes these guys really don't know. Like, I have dated guys that I felt like you don't even know, like, how to buy a proper present. Listen, I've dated guys that have never even been on vacation, that have never even been on vacation with a girl before, and it's their first time ever going on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes it's like that, and if you really care about him and love him, and if you feel like he is willing to learn and make that effort, then that could be a great thing because he's growing with you and growing with this relationship. So he's treating you better than he's ever treated anybody else.
Okay, I get that.
Right, which is a good way to look at it because it is about perspective. It's like, okay, he loves me so much that he's doing things that he's never done before.
Mm-hmm. But see, when he tells me stuff like that, he's doing this and it's not normal for him, I don't know if I'm believing him or not because, I don't know what he's done before and what he hasn't done.
Well, why wouldn't you believe him?
I don't know.
For no reason? Does he lie to you?
I mean, he has in the past.
Okay. Well, listen, you got to just take it at face value. If he's saying that he's never done this, but he's doing it for you, just appreciate mm-hmm. that he's doing these things for you instead of worrying about what he's not doing. And then in the future, every time you feel like, okay, you know what? And let him know. Like, don't scream on him about it as long as he's being, you know, as long as he's being susceptible to this, like just wanting to learn and grow with you. Just make sure that you tell him, like, listen, babe, I think it would be good if you did this. I know you've never done things like this before, but I think it would make me feel good if you would walk on the outside of the sidewalk as a man, you know, for a woman. That just makes me feel, you know, very protected. Just explain to him why you need him to do those things, and hopefully he does them. Now, the problem would only come in is if you're asking him to do these things and he's not willing to do them, then that's a whole nother story. But if he's willing, then you should give him that shot. And you got to be patient, too, because that's part of a relationship, is learning each other, learning our likes and our dislikes and growing.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck, Madison.
Bye, right, Maddie.
Thanks.
All right. Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes. Find out what celebrity was missing her teeth, and she explains why. Also, we'll be talking about Bachelor in Paradise. We've been following this story about an alleged sexual encounter that happened, and now there's possible lawsuits on the line. We'll tell you what's going on with that.
Okay, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Rumor report.
This is The Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Demi Moore was on The Tonight Show, and she told Jimmy Fallon that she lost her two front teeth. How could something like this happen?
Age? She's 73 years old.
That's not what happened. Here's what she said.
I sheared off my front teeth. I'd love to say it was like skateboarding or something like really kind of like cool, but I think it's really something that's important to share because I think it's literally probably after heart disease one of the biggest killers in America, which is stress. Yeah, stress. Sheared off my front tooth.
I thought she was into those energy drinks at one time heavily, and I think that was effing her up at one point.
Well, no, she said that she would grind her teeth. because she was stressed out.
Get you a mouthful of gold and then get it removed like Kodak Black if you want to impress me. I don't care about you losing your two front teeth. All right.
Yeah, so she said, but you know what? There are a lot of people that grind their teeth. When
to,
I was
enough to lose your teeth? I've never heard of that.
When, yeah, it really weakens your teeth. And, you know, my uncle's a dentist. My brother, actually, when we were growing up, used to grind his teeth all the time. There's people that grind their teeth and they actually have to wear something protective at night to stop them from grinding their teeth.
You know, your teeth shouldn't touch each other throughout the day. Like, you know how when you just rest your teeth and your mouth just lays? Your teeth shouldn't touch each other. Jesus. Did you know that?
I'm serious.
You know Demi Moore is 79 years old and she had wooden teeth for the majority of her life?
Shut up! She's not 79.
Nah. But she was saying that, and that is true, a lot of people are stressed out in life, so she's saying that is one of the top killers of people, so that is one issue that she had. The grinding makes your teeth weaken, all right. That friction, and that causes a lot of problems, so that's why you gotta go to the dentist, right? Mm-hmm. All right, Katy Perry was on DeRay McKesson's podcast, and she discussed cultural appropriation. Now, she was on Pod Save the People, and this clip actually went viral. Check out Katy Perry admitting that she didn't understand certain things about what she's done in videos, and in her video, This Is How We Do.
I've made several mistakes, even in like the This Is How We Do video about how I wore my hair, and having a hard conversation with one of my empowered angels, Cleo, about what does it mean? Why can't I wear my hair that way? Or what is the history behind wearing the hair that way? And she told me about the power in Black women's hair and how beautiful it is and the struggle. And I listened and I heard and I didn't know. And I won't ever understand because of who I am. But I can educate myself.
All right, Katy's a liar, okay?
You love Katy Perry.
I did up until this album run, okay? Katy came to the iHeart building in New York and didn't come near the hip-hop and R&B station, even though she got the Migos and Nicki Minaj on a record, okay? Katy's full of caca, all right? You went to the pop station, you went to the dance station, but didn't come near here. Remember she gave us that little pity phone call a couple years ago?
Yep. You love you some Katy Perry.
You guys, I listened to your station. You're the only... I can't say that, can I?
You can. Go ahead. Say
I listen to your station a lot.
Lies.
Well, she didn't
lies.
She said. She
didn't even say Breakfast
here.
Club. She said station. She called up. I remember that phone call vividly. Remember she called
we
up
know
and
you
her,
do.
Her people was in the background and he was like, they sing the Friday song every Friday.
Oh, yeah, you're
so
right.
Then all of a sudden she turned on the, hey, yo, what's up? It's Katy. Listen to you guys'
what
station
did
all
Katy
the time.
Do not
you
do, hey, Katy. Yo.
She didn't come to the station and she got Migos and Nicki Minaj on a song. How you don't come to the hip-hop and R&B station and you got Nicki Minaj
so fickle. That
and
was your
Migos
love.
On a record.
You went to go see
You're
her
not
perform.
Even listening. You're not even
oh
listening.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe she's
You're
busy.
Not even listening. You're not listening. You're not listening to what I'm saying.
I'm listening.
No,
all right. All right. And, well, we ran out of time now. So I'm Angela Yee. I was going to tell you about Bachelor in Paradise and all of that drama that's going on, but I'll update you on that tomorrow because it's still an ongoing situation with producers saying that they were uncomfortable with some of the footage. But I will tell you that DeMario Jackson, who's in the middle of this Bachelor in Paradise scandal, is saying that he feels like that video footage will show that he didn't do anything wrong. All right. Okay. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.